Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan told Congress this week that the U.S. economy dropped sharply after the terrorist attacks, and he said that increased spending on security would cause a short-term drop in worker productivity. Commentator Ev Ehrlich says it's been a long time since defense-related spending actually improved the economy.
For the generation that lived through the Depression, military spending was a much-needed tonic. The military buildup for the Second World War ended a decade of misery by marshaling the economy's idle workers and empty factories for the war effort. After the war, military spending became a permanent part of the economy. The Cold War demanded it, the defense industry relied on it, and defense spending acquired a reputation as a prescription against prospective economic downturns. The experience of the Vietnam War, however, taught us differently. In contrast to World War II and the Depression, the Vietnam War was superimposed over an economy already operating close to capacity. But instead of finding the resources to pay for it, the war's planners insisted that the economy, in the words of the day, could have guns and butter too. But it didn't work out that way. Instead, the economy proved unable to satisfy all of the demands placed upon it. The result was, when combined with the first OPEC price shock, the nation's worst experience with inflation since the Civil War. The economic effects of added defense spending, therefore, depend on how it's managed. The underlying problem is this. While defense or security spending reflect pressing national needs, they're an economic dead end in terms of the way we use our resources. The added billions we'll be spending to make civilian air travel safe again, for example, won't increase the number of planes that fly or the passengers they carry. Instead, we're spending money on security equipment and personnel so that we can produce the same amount we produced before. That new spending, unmatched by any new output, makes our economy less productive. However vital, therefore, defense spending ultimately lowers our standard of living. Right now, the economy is weak and needs a kickstart, but defense or security spending is an imperfect way to stimulate it. It takes time to find its way into people's hands, and it ultimately detracts from productivity. A cut in Social Security payroll taxes, for example, would immediately give working families more income and make it cheaper for businesses to keep people on payrolls. But when the economy begins to grow again sometime next year, the problem of finding the resources to pay for needed military spending, as well as whatever economic stimulus program ends up being enacted, will have to be addressed. Earlier this year, we passed a federal budget that anticipated big long-term surpluses and used the proceeds to pay for big long-term tax cuts. Now the assumptions that underlie that budget have changed dramatically, and we're in danger, like the planners of the Vietnam era, to ask the economy to provide guns and butter too. It doesn't work that way. The need to make our nation secure will soon test our willingness to pay for it.
The comments of Ev Ehrlich, a former Undersecretary of Commerce in the Clinton administration. His latest novel is called Grant Speaks. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards.